Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Amen. Are you ready for the Word of God? Amen. Would you welcome Pastor Reverend Andy Evans? Come on up. My friend and my buddy and my brother.
Love you.
Love you.
Two titles. I don't know if I can bear that weight or not. Pastor Reverend. Amen. Well, it's good to be here. Everybody happy to be here?
Yes.
Amen. Well, when Terry called me, I started praying, and honestly, for about 48 hours, it was a struggle. Usually it's not. You know, I'll go into the Word and I'll start looking, and I go to the usual suspects, stories and things that I've hoed and dug for years and years, and it was dry as a bone. And finally, I just said, okay, Lord, here it is. Here I am. And all of a sudden, He started pointing me to scriptures, and I just started putting them down. Just scripture after scripture after scripture. And finally, that was it. And I was left with just pages and pages of scripture. And then I started filling in the spaces between the scriptures, and then I was done. So I believe that what I have this morning is as close to what God wanted me to do as I could get. And that's exactly where I want to be. Over the course of the last several weeks, though, and it was really confirmed this morning, I kept hearing one phrase, the name. The name. And Wednesday night, I taught Wednesday night, and we kind of touched on it about the name. And there's a scripture in Matthew 28:19 where it talks about go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in the Jewish New Testament translation, it changes that scripture just a little bit. It says immersing them in the reality of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, that changes things. When we talk about the reality of the name, have you ever thought about that? The reality of the name. I don't know about you, but that changes my understanding. Now, I can talk about being baptized in the name, and that there's nothing wrong with that translation. You know, there's something to be said about being baptized in the name. But when you talk about the reality, our reality of being in the name, that's different than being the reality of being a United States citizen, isn't it? Now, we talk about that, and I'm proud to be an American, aren't you? That's important. But even more, the reality of being a kingdom citizen is much more than being an American citizen. That should change your reality. It should change who you are when you are a kingdom citizen. Now, the reality of that name is saturated with unlimited power. If you are a kingdom citizen, you should be able to go to somebody and lay your hand on them and say, be healed. Shouldn't you? It happened in the New Testament in Acts. Has God changed? Then why are we so hesitant sometimes to go to somebody and lay your hand on them and say, be healed? Because if they're not, Is it going to damage your reputation? And if you think that, then that means you think it's up to you. It's not up to me. If they get healed, I don't get the credit. And if they don't, I shouldn't get the blame. So when we realize that our reality is based on who he is instead of who I is, the reality of the name should drive what we do, what we think, what we say. The reality of who he is determines who we are. Okay? So, from the foundation of the world, there was a plan. And it was based on the embodiment of the name, the introduction of the name, and our access to the name. That's a mouthful. Let me read that again. The embodiment of the name, the introduction of the name, and the access to the name. And that plan is the gospel of the kingdom of God. That's the whole plan. That's the whole plan. And the restoration, or the reconciliation, if you will, of all things back to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The restoration of all things. Not just our salvation, but the restoration of all things. Everything. Jesus said he came to undo all the works of the devil. Right? And he's going to do that with the breath of his mouth. How about that? He's going to blow on him. And then everything that he did is over. Romans 8:19 says this, "For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God." Who is that? Look at your neighbor and say, "That's you." I like being a son of God. Do you? I love it, as a matter of fact. I don't just like it, I love it. I'm a son of God. I am a son of God. Hallelujah. Some translations, instead of saying revealing, it says the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, when this reaches complete fulfillment, everything will be restored, including the creation. Now, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. Let's slow down just a minute. I'm going to go to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. And I'm going to read through verse 5. A voice cries in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill will be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." That prophecy was spoken by Isaiah, I'd say probably 600, maybe 700 years before it ever happened. Now, for a prophet to be a prophet, what he said had to come true. It had to come true. Now, the prophecy was about a messenger. And when the prophet showed up, that meant the Messiah was near. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Not may, not might, would, will be, guaranteed. When the word of God comes, and when God says something, that don't mean can. It said shall. Shall is an imperative word. It means it will be. If you get a word from God, take it to the bank. Amen? Now, if I tell you something, don't go to the bank. Or if I tell you something, ask for the money. But if God tells you something, y'all, it's going to happen. If you can read it in the Word, it's going to happen. You know, I saw a quote the other day, and I think it was Leonard Ravenhill. He said, the Word of God, read it. It's important. But what's even more important than that is get to know the God of the Word. Get to know the God of the Word. Read the Word of God. It's good to memorize Scripture, but get to know the God of the Word. He will never, as the song said, He will never fail. He will never fail. Now we're going to go to Matthew 3. And what we're going to talk about now, and I feel so strongly about this because, you know, people getting to know the Lord in this day and time, y'all, we'd never know. He could come back tomorrow. I don't believe there's anything that is really left to happen before Jesus comes back or before He comes back for the bride. I really don't know that there's anything left to happen. And so it's important. I don't know about you, but I have family members that are lost. It's important for people that don't know Him, know Him. And so I think now is so essential for people to know how to know. Don't you? Matthew 3:1. In those days. And we just heard the prophecy when He was coming. Now He's in this scripture, He's come. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. He was fearless. What is the message? Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then he declared that he was the one that Isaiah talked about. He was the voice of the one calling in the wilderness. Many confessed of their sins and they were baptized. Then the Pharisees and the Sadducees, after hearing it through the grapevine, they come running. He had a message for them too. It wasn't repent. He figured they already knew it. They were religious. They knew the Word. I don't think they knew the God of the Word, but they knew the Word. He called them what they were. He said, you brood of vipers, who warned you? And then he told them the message anyway, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Bear fruit. You know, if somebody repents, you can tell if they mean it, can't you? Well, I remember the night when I broke down crying. Had my son and my daughter with me sitting right back there. Cried like a baby in a room full of strangers. I remember. You know when you're crying out of repentance or you're crying because you were caught. Don't you? You know, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Wolfgang Simpson, I followed him for years, and I never will forget this quote. He said, it's easy to spot a true prophet, and I think it's true then, it's true today. He said, they'll be the ones with their arms and legs sticking out from under a pile of rocks. There's a lot of prophets today. A lot of them fly in jet airplanes and have big bank accounts. Some of them don't. Some of them are attacked constantly. But you can tell by their message. And I don't know about John, but I think advice for him, don't rent a building, John. Offerings ain't going to get you any security. You ain't gonna be able to afford to rent on that building. John spoke the truth, and they come after him. Matthew 3:11. I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Whew. Isn't that what we need today? Man. I remember when I was at First Baptist over here in Spindale. The first real fruit that I saw. Crack addict. He come in and everybody's afraid of him. He got baptized. He was just as crazy then as he was before. He was crazy for Jesus. First year, he's in my office every day. 3-4 hours. Just talking. One day somebody said, Rick, you're going to have to slow down. You're going to burn yourself out. He said, no, I'm not. How come you're not on fire? Y'all, the Holy Spirit and fire. See, that's sometimes what we're missing. When you get set on fire by the Holy Spirit, you're not going to burn out. You're going to burn till you go home. That first year was as much for me as it was for him. He kept me burning. He kept me cheered up. Verse 12, his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. You know, I can see why the Pharisees didn't like John. He messed with their gig. They liked their life. They liked what they had. They liked all the pats on the backs and the invitations to the best feasts and stuff. That was a hard message. And he didn't water it down. That wasn't a convenient gospel that he preached. So See, this was spoken before crossing paths with Jesus. He had, even though they were cousins, now maybe, you know, I don't know. Sometimes I wonder. I mean, Mary and Elizabeth, they knew each other. Maybe they played when they were kids. I don't know. Doesn't say. I like to think about that sometimes, though. But now he's off in the desert. Jesus is, you know, he's getting ready to step onto the world stage. But then in John 1:29, it says, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I can't add anything to that. He took it all. Everything. For everybody in this room, everybody in this city, everybody in this county, everybody in this state, everybody in this country, everybody in this world, he took it all. Verse 32, and John bore witness. See, he spoke that word, and then God gave him confirmation. John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. That come true in the baptism waters of the Jordan. God confirmed it. And then in verse 36, he said it again, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, behold, the Lamb of God. Said it twice. If you see it twice, pay attention. Said it twice. And now, you know, John has an end to his ministry, Mark 1:14-15. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. And Mark 15 says, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. John's work is finished. Jesus' mission has now begun. John's in jail. Why is he in jail? He made King Herod mad. Told him it's wrong to take his brother's wife. See, he didn't cut any punches. He said what he said, and he stood on it. He got put in jail. Cost him his life. But John was a bridge from the old covenant to the new. But notice that Jesus carries on with the message of repentance. Message doesn't change. Repentance is still the message. It was the message then. It's the message today. Repent must come before believe. Repent and believe. We'll go to John chapter 3. Spend just a few minutes here. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher, come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. Nicodemus comes in the dark with flattery. You ever try to flatter somebody? A lot of times it works. Unless you're Jesus. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus answers the question that he should have asked. The Jewish New Testament translation says, you must be born again from above. You must be born again from above. Verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." That's two things he said. You cannot see the kingdom of God unless you're born again, and you cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you're born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Being born again is dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can draw you. You hear what I'm saying? It's not by your effort. Only the Holy Spirit can draw you. We have no control over the Spirit. You can't get in a position, you can't even get on your knees and go, you can't. You can't strain and get the Holy Spirit to come and draw you into repentance. The Spirit doesn't adhere to our agenda. We hear His sound, but we don't know where He comes from or where He goes. He does not march to our drum beat. But His desire is for us to come to know Jesus. He does. He wants us. You know Jesus wants you to be saved more than you want to be saved. The Holy Spirit wants you to come to know Him more than you want to come to know Him. But repentance, and this is something that has troubled me for most of my time in what God has called me to, is people's understanding of what it takes to be saved. And I've been in so many altar calls. I've been in so many situations where people tell me why they think they're saved or why they believe they're saved. And I've heard so many pastors say, just ask Jesus into your heart. I've seen sometimes people try to convince somebody that they're saved, Terry. And it grieves me. Because I don't want to convince nobody that they're saved. It's not my job. It's above my pay grade. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read a verse to you here. 2 Corinthians 7, 9, and 10. As it is, I rejoice, not because you were grieved, but because you were grieved into repenting, for you felt a godly grief so that you suffered no loss through us. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret. Whereas worldly grief produces death. Godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret. Godly grief brings you to repentance that leads to salvation. In Romans 10, 13, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is a drawing of the Holy Spirit that causes you to call upon the Lord. That will lead you to a godly grief that will bring you to repentance. Now this morning, and I feel so strongly, Pastor. I feel so strongly this morning, and I have this verse here, and I think I can look out this morning, and I can see it. There are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for the harvest. I believe this morning, I just want to open up the altar. I believe this morning that in here the fields are white for harvest. I believe that there's somebody in here this morning, maybe one, maybe two, maybe ten. I believe this morning that somebody in here this morning is being called to a godly grief that will bring you to repentance, to accept the Lord Jesus Christ and to call upon Him. Call on the name that we've talked about. The name of Jesus that will draw you to a godly repentance to lead you to salvation. And if that's you, I don't want you to raise your hand. I don't want you to stand. I just want you to come. There's people in here this morning that will talk to you. This morning, everybody please stand. And if that's you, run to this altar. If that's you, if that's you, come. I'm not twisting nobody's arm. I'm just giving you an opportunity. Because today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Father God, I believe that this is your word and that your spirit draws, and it's not your will that any should perish. I pray, Lord, that this word has not fallen on ears that can't hear. If it be your will, Lord, draw any that will. Whomever that would come, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good job, good word. You may not have responded today, but what has happened by the power of the Holy Spirit, there's a seed been planted in each one of us for the realness of the reality of true repentance, true salvation. And it will bring forth fruit. It won't return without coming to fullness. And we just pray that this word will be something that you are able to receive, but not just that, but you are able to impart to other people. We need to be a people of His faith, of His walk. We need to be, we must be a people that will share the gospel of the kingdom with other people. It may mean stones, it may mean criticism, it may mean loss of friends, it may mean a loss of a job, it may mean a lot of different things, but I know what it means to God. It means, well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Pastor Terry.
Amen. What a great word. Did we get fed today? Yeah. Feel like I've been at a buffet, and y'all can look at my profile and tell. I know something about buffets. God has been good to all of us today. So just want to bring your attention to a couple things. If you're going to Ford, it's coming up in just a couple of weeks. Youth, young adults, children, If you'd like to go to Ford for such a time as this, choose you this day. What you gonna do? Go see Pastor Austin and let him know that you want to be part of what's going on down there. Also, want to bring your attention to our website, fathersvineyard.org. If you'll click on that, you will see the ladies. You got some information over there under information. They've got something coming up next month that you got to register for now. So go over there. Make sure. Hot diggity dog. Look at that. You scream, I scream. That's right. We all scream Jesus. Amen. I like it. All I saw was ice cream. You can tell where I'm at. It's lunchtime. Thank y'all for bringing that out. So anyway, if you're a first-time visitor, make sure you go back to the back double doors and see our pastor. He's got a great gift for you for coming out tonight. So let's go, or today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. One more thing. Pray for, yes, need to pray for Joe Jolly. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. He's in the hospital, and we're just going to believe God is going to heal Joe, Brother Joe. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come to you right now, and we bring Joe to the throne room of grace, because we know one touch from you changes everything. And we believe that you can touch him right now, Lord. So we're coming to you right now, claiming your healing for Brother Joe, knowing that he's a faithful servant of you. He's a child of yours, God, and he's a brother to us. And so we're leaning in right now on you, saying, touch Brother Joe. Touch him right now where he's at. Touch his whole family. Let him know that it be a miracle. Let it be a message that comes out saying, look at the benefits of serving my God. Look what God can do. And just thank you so much for this man and what he's been to all of us. And just we pray for him and his family. In your name we pray, amen. If you're a first-time visitor, make sure you go back and see Pastor. He's got a gift for you there. Have a great week. Go ye therefore and prosper.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's Word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.